Galatians chapter 5. Again, trust that each one of us come to worship the Lord today and worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Spirit of God prevailing within us and the truth of the Word of God being that we look to be able to worship the Lord. And you pray that the Lord will bless us and help with His Word this morning. We might hear from Him. We might really hear from Him and believe what He's saying to us. Here in Galatians chapter 5, as we've been preaching on the fruits of the Spirit, and as a brother said years ago, he said the fruit salad of the Spirit, but we're going in and picking out those different parts. It is going to be such that all of these things should be prevailing and coming from the child of God, that spring of life that the Lord has given us, that springing up within us should be producing fruit. We're going to take a look at some scriptures in that regard and seeing what the Lord expects about it. But here in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13, "For brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." There's that warfare and that battle within it, within every child of God should be. It's there. This old body, this old mind, it's not saved. It's the soul that's been saved. It's the Spirit of God come to live within, Jesus within us, if you will. And that is going to set up a warfare. And I challenge each one of us to consider our lives. Do we have that battle within? If you are the Lord's, you certainly will have it. And the one that you feed is the one that's going to come out on top. We're not talking about the fulfilling of salvation, or we're not talking about whether one's soul eternally is at stake. But we're talking about this is essentially dealing with the salvation of the life. We have a life. We have a life that to live from the time that the Lord has saved us, and how are we using that life? That's what this speaks to us about. Verse 18, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, that which is that life given by the Lord, that fruit salad of the Spirit, if you will, that's going to be manifested in the child of God, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." There's no fulfilling of those, as we've mentioned in times past. "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh." Verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." Verse number 24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh." So these things won't be manifested in the child of God. "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts," or desires. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." We want to take a look at this morning there in verse number 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is peace." We preached on this last Sunday and brought to you how it was and what peace is, and there's different states of peace. We talk about peace relative to our nation. We talk about peace relative to individuals and how folks can get along, and there's tranquility and harmony there. We talk about it, peace in regards to safety and prosperity, that in a nation or a region even. We talk about peace in regards to that, peace between man, individual men, women, boys and girls, peace with God, peace with their Creator because of the Lord's salvation, and that of the service of the Lord. There's that peace that the child of God can have, knowing that eternally they're secure in Christ because of what Christ has done for them. And there's not a fear or a dread that when it comes time to die, that their state is unknown. But they know on this side that they rest in Christ secure in Him. And then there's that peace that's talked about when one that is saved goes on and passes on from this life. Their heart quits beating. Their eyes close in death. They draw that last breath and they go on to be with the Lord. And we speak about how they are at peace with God in salvation. We talked to you last time about how man's earthly peace and temporal peace, it's not eternal and it's not going to last. And we talk about those things, and we talk to you, and this is just one aspect of it, about the peace symbol, as it's called, and how it contains actually the Germanic death rune. So we've sold a bill of goods about this, and you can take a look at that, and I encourage you to do so if you get a chance. That peace is not going to last. It's a false peace. It's talking Satan has sold a bill of goods to mankind that where he presents a false peace that equals death, the death of men. We took a peace and how it's defined in the Lord's life, that the Lord does not bring the peace desired by the world, but He has the power to bring complete peace and that eternal peace, that peace that is made between men, women, boys and girls, and God. The salvation of souls and how we can have peace with the Lord and the prophecies that were told about that in John the Baptist. We took a look at the peace and healing in the coming to Jesus. How the Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He says, "I'll give you rest. I'll give you settledness. I will give you peace." We talked about the peace and salvation, and we talked about how there's going to be true peace only when Jesus reigns. We'll have true peace in this life when Jesus rules and reigns in our hearts and lives. That's how we'll have peace in this life. The world will only have peace when the Lord Jesus Christ Himself reigns. This morning we want to take a look at the Lord's Fruit of Peace challenge to you and me. You and I that are saved, we that are saved, there's a challenge that the Lord gives us about this fruit of the Spirit of peace, and we want to take a look at how that is. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. How is the peace that emanates from you? Here in Luke chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ dealing with His disciples and teaching them, instructing them, giving them a mission to do. And here in Luke chapter 10, we pick it up in verse number 1, where it says, "And after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place, whether He Himself would come. Therefore said He unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest." Verse 3, "Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." And that's truly the way that it is. "Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way." It's an element of trust that the Lord gives them in their mission. And listen to what it says in verse 5. "And in whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And in whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you. Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it should be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city." He goes on to tell about some different cities and towns. Take a look over in Matthew chapter 10. Let's read the account there. He goes on and gives them the same instruction here. And we pick it up in verse number 10 of Matthew chapter 10. "Nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And in whatsoever city or town ye enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or the city, shake off the dust off of your feet." We as the Lord's children, we need to understand that there's a peace in carrying the gospel and the word of the Lord to the world. There's a peace. We have been given peace by the salvation that the Lord has blessed us with, by the Lord Jesus Christ, having come, lived, occupied, and a body prepared for Him, and lived a perfect life, giving Himself a ransom for His people. He died on the cross of Calvary. He suffered there to pay our sins, to pay His people's sins, was buried and rose again. And in salvation, we've been given a peace that we are to share with others. And there's a blessing in sharing that. And this is what it's talking about here. The Lord instructs them to go two by two and go into these different places and go into these different cities and such as that. He says, where they come, where you go to in a house or a town or whatever, and they receive you, let your peace come into you. You say, peace into. What's it talking about? What is that? It's talking about the fellowship. It's talking about the receiving of the Word. He says when you go there and you're carrying that gospel, you're carrying that good Word of peace through me, peace through Jesus Christ, and if they say, yeah, we like that. Yes, we want that. Yes, come on in and talk to us about that. Are you hungry? We'll fix you something to eat and tell us about Jesus Christ. Tell us about salvation through Him. Tell us about this peace that you have. We want that peace. He says, let your peace remain upon it. They have fellowship. They have concord. They have that connection. They receive the Word of God readily because the Lord has visited them and touched them. But He said that there's those then that they don't want to hear it. They don't want that peace. They don't want to receive that Word. They don't want to hear about their need of that gospel. As it says in Acts chapter 13, take a look over here, the apostle dealing with some folks and as they're preaching here, and it is the case as we go out and witness, there's a peace in carrying the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and telling others about peace that's only attainable through Him. In Acts chapter 13, we see here that the apostle and Barnabas are dealing with these folks, and these Jews, they reject the word of the Lord. In verse number 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. They were jealous that they had a turnout there, the folks that wanted to come and hear Paul and Barnabas, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. Why? They were jealous. They had been of that crowd that maybe wanted to come and hear again next week. But when they saw all the draw, when they saw all the people that came, they became envious and they became jealous, and their doctrine changed immediately. It wasn't going their way. They weren't heaping the praise and the pomp and the fame upon themselves. And it changed. Their attitude changed. Let's go on and read. They contradicted and they blasphemed the word that they spoke. Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. They didn't want anything to do with the peace that they told about that came only in Jesus Christ. They didn't want it. And so the Lord says, let your peace return to you. And they said, we're going to the Gentiles. It was such that we should come to you in visiting this town. But now we go to them. There's peace in carrying the gospel. You know, as we would say in this flesh, we said, when you witness to somebody and you tell them about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you, what the Lord Jesus Christ can do for them in forgiving them, it's a good feeling, isn't it? Isn't it a good feeling? That's the way we say it. But that's what it's peace. It's the peace of God abiding on. And in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount here, the Lord tells. He tells something that's very, very much so. And in this study, and in these taking a look at these messages and breaking down the fruit of the Spirit and each one of these different fruits, the Apostle Paul told the church there, the churches in Galatia, about this fruit and how it should be manifested in the life of one that is saved. He tells about the works of the flesh and how that is to be put away from us and that we're no longer called, we're no longer bent, we've been set free, we have that liberty. You know, today's Independence Day. Independence Day, when our country and our forefathers, they sat down and they signed that Declaration of Independence from England, from the United Kingdom. They said, we are part of it no more because we desire to be a free people and worship God the way that we see fit. We desire that freedom, and we implore the Lord for blessing upon this nation as we pursue this way. You know what? There's no greater liberty, though. There's no greater independence or freedom than to be freed from sin. There's no greater liberty. There's no greater freedom than there is in being freed from sin. Brethren, do you hear it? Brethren, do you believe it? That there's no greater liberty or freedom than being freed from sin? That was a great opportunity to amen. How do we believe it? How do we receive it? What is really, really in us? May the Lord help us to see it. But the Apostle Paul told the churches of Galatia about these fruits. But we see and we take a look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that he talked about all of them. And that's what we want to do in this series of messages, is see what the Lord had to say about it. Here in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the Lord says, for theirs is the kingdom of God. They have nothing, but I'll give them everything. Because see, if we don't have the Lord, we don't have anything. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We've talked about that some. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Oh, blessed are the peacemakers, those that desire the peace that they have, that others would see it, that others would hear it, that others would believe it. We, the children of God that have been saved by the Lord, we go to a lost and dying world. We go to our friends, our neighbors, those that we meet, those we have opportunity to preach to, those that visit us in the services. We go and tell them, I've been set free. I've been given peace by the Lord. Don't you want it too? You need it. You need it in the worst way. You need to have peace with God, because there's coming a day when this life passes, this very short life passes, and you go off into eternity. But if you don't have peace with the Lord on this side, you will never have peace with Him. You will not have peace with Him forever, forever and forever. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 16, the Apostle Paul says something here. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. You know, the peacemakers, those we that have been saved, that should be a witness of the Lord to a lost and dying world, to those that we're around, to our family, our friends, everyone that we have exposure to, we should not much care about their person, or what they have, or who they are, or whether, quote-unquote, they would be considered an important person or not. We should look at every person, every man, woman, boy, or girl, not after the flesh, but what's their condition spiritually? What is their condition spiritually? Not whether they're connected or they're on the right side of the tracks or the wrong side of the tracks or whatever it may be. But what is their spiritual condition? Do they have peace with God? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Mark chapter 9. There's peace in carrying the gospel and the word of the Lord, and we are challenged to do so. Do you do so? Are you a witness? Do you tell sinners about their need? When it comes up and it comes down to a point to where it necessary that someone, they don't believe the truth. They believe in works for salvation. They believe in some dogma for their soul to have rest in eternity. Do you tell them the truth instead? Well, you know, there's different ways to worship, after all. Is there? Spirit and truth, the Lord says. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's no other way. It's His way. It's His way or the broad way. It's the narrow way or the broad way. That's the way it is. There's no other way. There's, if you will, there's God's way, and then there's every other way. That's the way that it is. What way do we have? We need to open our mouth and speak. In Mark chapter 9, we see here the Lord having given instruction to his disciples here, and he tells them about how important it is a way to get away from sin, that at all costs get away from wickedness and from sin, because it is hell and the lake of fire that have been built by God to torment sinners that have not received His way of salvation. God has created hell, not Satan. It's not Satan's domain. It's not the hell and the lake of fire is not the domain of Satan and those fallen angels. We talk about sometimes it's mentioned, and I understand what's mean by it, but that's a lie from the pit of hell. There are no lies that come from the pit of hell. There are none. That is the place of, those are the places of God's righteous indignation, hell and the lake of fire. Satan's not down running around in there with a pitchfork tormenting sinners. He will himself, along with hell and death, will be cast into the lake of fire, and he will be tormented there forever. The lake of fire has been created for the devil and his angels, the scripture bears out. And so he says, get away from sin, because it is sin that kills sinners. It is sin that will be punished forever. And in verse number 49, we pick it up in Mark chapter 9, verse number 49, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, the Lord says, but if the salt hath lost its saltness, that's talking about our witness. That's talking about the difference we are to make in this world. But if we don't make a difference, if we are not salty, if we don't stand out in the crowd, if we don't stand out with our conversation, then we need to well consider. Salt is good, but if the salt had lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Peace one with another. He says, don't be fussing and quarreling about who's going to be top dog in the kingdom. Don't be fussing and quarreling about what your way is and the way you want it, and giving no yield to the way another wants it. Don't be quarreling about the things of this world and this earth. They're temporal. They're going to burn up. Have peace one with another. Have peace in the truth and what I say. Take and adapt that. Look for that which is good. Cleave to it and have peace one with another. There's peace in carrying the gospel and the word of the Lord, and we need to do so. There's peace, and the peacemakers will be called the children of God. Those of that we go and we pursue the salvation of others through the preaching of the word of God and praying that the Lord will work and save sinners. There's peace in fellowship one with another, and in being salty and making a difference together to a lost and dying world. And then there's peace when Jesus the Lord is near. Take a look here in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Are we peaceful this way? The Lord expects us to be. He admonishes us to be. We have a responsibility before Him. And here when the Lord is near. Do you like it when Jesus is near? The brother read this morning, Brother Bobby read this morning in the devotion, how it was that John was right up there close to the Lord. Peter beckoned to him and said, ask him who he's talking about. Who is it that's going to betray him? And John's right up there close. He wants to be close to the Lord. He loves being close to the Lord. He wants that close fellowship with the Lord. He wants to hear what the Lord says, and he wants to hear what the Lord whispers. He wants to be close. How is it with you and me? There's peace that is there. When the Lord Jesus Christ shows up here amongst His church, in Luke chapter 24, verse number 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus stood in the midst of them, and that's where He should be. He should be in the midst of His church. May the Lord help us to see that Jesus should be in the midst of His church. Not like Laodicea outside, knocking, wanting to come in. Not into your heart, not into your soul. That's talking about fellowship with His church. Fellowship with His people. To visit with His people. To enjoy that close companionship and that fellowship with His people. And here it is. And His church He meets with them, verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. He says, peace be unto you. I'm here. Everything is okay. Everything is all right. I'm here on the scene. You've got nothing to worry about. Peace be unto you. And isn't there just a blessing and a great peace? You know, when you've been praying, when you've been reading the Word of the Lord, and the Lord shows you, opens up a thing to you that you haven't seen that way before. When the Lord speaks to you, your day's falling apart, and you resort to finally, I don't know how it is with you, but you finally realize, well, I need to pray. I need to quit trying and struggling. I need to pray. I need to get out the Lord's book and read in there. And the Lord, He speaks to you, and He blesses you, and He helps you and encourages you. Through his Spirit being near, through you giving up on you, and you take a look at the Word of God and that passage that He impresses upon you to take a look at, and it helps you. Isn't that peaceful when the Lord is near? Isn't it peaceful when Jesus is near? Yes, it is. Oh, it's such an encouragement. Peace be unto you. When they were terrified and affrighted, that's the way we are. We look around. We can't believe it. It should be another way. That's the way we so much work. They were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit or a ghost, if you will. And he said unto them, why are you troubled and why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for the Spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. There's peace when the Lord is near. Take a look over in John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Verse number 29. John 16:29. And his disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. And this time between the hymn and Gethsemane, the Lord is teaching and encouraging his disciples and telling them those things that are going to come to pass, that they not be offended. And they said, now we really get it. You're not speaking in a proverb or a parable anymore. Verse 30, now we are sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. And Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh. Yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, listen, that in me you might have peace. Peace won't come from our own understanding. Peace won't come from our own confidence in self. Peace will only come through the Lord, through fellowship and closeness with Him. It'll only come through His Word. He says, in Him is how we're going to have peace. Not in ourselves. They say, okay, we've got it. We really understand it now. It's all clear, it's all plain, and everything's good. We got it. And the Lord knows. The Lord knows the frailty of the flesh. He says, I've spoken unto you that you might have peace. In me you might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. If we go to the world to look for peace, if we go and look at our bank account for peace, it isn't going to last. If we go and look at our 401k or retirement or those things that we've laid up in store, it isn't going to last. If we look at the security that we can build and that we can put together, our own plan, our own way, the way of the world, the philosophy of man, it won't last. It won't be peaceful. It isn't going to last. The only place and the only one that we can have peace in is the Lord Himself. These things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be happy. I've overcome the world. See, if our peace is in Him, He'll take care of the rest. If our peace is in the Lord, the things of the world will not matter. He goes on here. And we're back up, actually, in John chapter 14. Take a look here in verse number 27. Here, speaking of the Comforter, we sang about the Comforter and how it is that the Lord has given the Comforter in the church to be there in His stead. And we hold to that promise of the comforter work of the Holy Spirit in Olmsted Baptist Church to lead us into all truth, to remind us what the Word of God says, to see the wisdom of God in those things that we deal with and face, to seek His righteousness. Here in John chapter 14, the Lord says in this telling His disciples about the comforter, the Holy Ghost that He's going to send to be there in His stead in the church. In verse number 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart troubled, neither let it be afraid. I give you peace." You know, the Lord says, and I've read it many times, you know it, in Matthew 11:29, the Lord says, He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." He says, "I'll save your soul." And He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." What do you know about Jesus? What do you know about Jesus' ministry? What do you know about those that He healed? What do you know about the miracles that He worked? What do you know about those that He saved? All of that work of the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry, He did to bring salvation to you. If it would only have been you, you say you're saved, you got Jesus as your Savior, He saved your soul, He would have done everything that He did, just exactly as He did it, just to come and bring you salvation. Learn of me. Learn of me. Learn. I say it's imperative for the child of God to walk with the Lord, I believe, for he or she to serve the Lord well, to be a good witness, to live for the Lord. It's imperative that we've got our hearts and souls filled up with the Gospels. It is there that we learn about Jesus and His ministry. And the rest of the New Testament certainly is there, and it has its place for the working of the church and the doctrine that we hold to in the church and that. But I'm talking about you as an individual. The doctrine about the church won't do you a lick of good if you don't know about your Savior. It won't. It won't if you don't have it in just ingrained in you about Jesus and what He came and did for you. The rest won't mean a thing to you. In our day and age, and the way it goes with so-called religion and the way that it is in churches across our nation today, kind of makes you wonder, do folks have the Lord? We got religion, but do we have the Lord? Do we have the Lord? May the Lord help us to see it. He says, "I bring you peace." Look over here, and I'm gonna jump out of the Gospels and take a look over here at Philippians. Take a look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We take a look, and like I said, the Apostle Paul preached to the churches of Galatia about the fruit of the Spirit and the epistle to the churches in Galatia, and he tells us about how it is that the fruit of the Spirit needs to be manifested in the children of the Lord. That no longer the works of the flesh should be manifested, but the fruit of the Spirit is that which should be pursued. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter tells about how we are to add to our faith, that we not be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those things are there, and that connection is there. But here in Philippians chapter 4, we want to depart from the Lord's ministry, and we just want to take a look here at what the apostle, what the Lord gave him to write about this thing of peace. Philippians 4, verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Thank the Lord and ask Him." Thank the Lord and ask Him, he says. Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Verse 9, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace and the God of peace shall be with you." Obey the Lord. Pursue and think about not the trash and filth of the world, but think about those things that are heavenly. Think about those things that are good amongst the people of God. Think about those things that are good that the Lord has done for us in His church. Think about those promises that the Lord has given us to His people, to His churches. Think about those things. Let that fill up our mind rather than the strife, envy, wickedness, debate, and politic of the world. And what's it say? And the God of peace shall be with you. Peace. Peace. The Lord's challenge of the fruit of peace to you and I that are saved. How is it with us? Do you and I manifest the peace fruit of the Spirit? Has your or my free peace fruit waxed cold? Do we have any peace fruit at all? Are we known as a peacemaker? Do we desire sinners to be saved? Do we desire things to be remedied? You know, even in the operation of the church, the Lord says when there's an offense, go and make it right. He gave a way to take care of that. Rather than if we have an offense and then go off and work our own politic to pursue malice or wickedness, getting back, getting even, never forgetting, always remembering for that strike later on. As we said and saw last time in Psalms chapter 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. But that former that I mentioned, that man does not want peace. He wants strife. But the one that seeks the Lord, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Fruit. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Because he's looking to the Lord. He desires that peace, that blessing of the Lord. In Romans chapter 8, take a look over here. How is it with you and me? Do we manifest this fruit of peace? Do we want to abide in peace one with another? In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, the Scripture says, Romans chapter 8, verse 9, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, is that so? Does the Spirit dwell within? If the Spirit dwells within, then this fruit shall be manifested. The Lord said over in Matthew, He said, by their fruits ye shall know them. That's the reason we're taking a look at this study. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, it won't be manifest in the fruit of the Spirit. Do we have the fruit of the Spirit? Do we have the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Against such, there is no law. May each one of us evaluate ourselves. Let's take a look over here in Matthew chapter 7. Let's take a look and read that. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, again here on the Sermon on the Mount, verse number 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. That's how we'll be known. Do men gather grapes of thorns, figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Do we, as the Lord's children, do we bear the fruit of the Spirit? Is it seen? Are we guilty of bearing the fruit of peace? Of peace. Again, the Lord's peace, it won't make sense to the world. And the Lord's peace will actually bring strife in the world. But the Lord's peace is the only peace that's eternal. Now, to you that are here this morning and not saved, there is a peace that you need with God that you can only have through Jesus Christ. There is a peace that you need with God that you can only have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Take a look at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. You remember about the count of the rich young ruler that came to the Lord and said, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? What is it that I need to do?" And the Lord said, "Keep the commandments." He said, "I've done all that. I've done all that." And the Lord says to him, "One thing you lack. One thing you lack. One thing you lack. Go sell everything you've got, give it to the poor, and come follow me. I am that one thing, that one that you lack." What did the rich young ruler do? He went away sorrowful because he was very, very rich. Here in Luke chapter 14, the Lord is kind of speaking along this line. And in verse number 27, we pick it up here, or verse number 25. "And there went a great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower," he's going to take and turn our attention to an example. If you got this construction project, don't you sit down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. He said he started to build, but he couldn't finish. Saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and considereth whether he will be able with 10,000 to beat him that cometh against him with 20,000. Got an enemy coming. He's got 20,000 strong, the scouts say, and he knows he's only got 10,000. He's going to strategize. He's going to consult with his generals. He's going to take a look and see, can he meet that one? Can he meet that one that's coming with 20,000? Verse 32, "Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." You want peace? You want peace? You're here this morning and you're not saved. You don't have forgiveness of your sins. You know that when you die, hell is your destination because your disobedience against God, you're a guilty sinner. You need Jesus Christ. You want peace? Listen, it's going to cost you everything you've got. That's the only way to receive Jesus. It's going to be all that you claim and hold to in exchange for the Lord, because He is the only way that you can have eternal peace. But if you want to hang on to it, you may have some temporary peace in this life. But when it comes time to die, you won't have peace at all. You need Jesus, and Jesus alone. You need Him. See, it says here, verse 32, "Or else while the other is a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace." See, you've got life. You're living right now. And you need to make peace with your Creator through His Son. You have got a debt. You've got a battle. You've got a war you can't win your way. But forgiveness of your sins is offered freely through His Son. You need to seek peace with your Creator. And it's only through His Son. You need to repent to God. Hear the command. Repent to God that you are a sinner, you are guilty, and believe and trust in His Son and His Son alone, that the promises He makes to sinners that come to Him, He will save. To those that see themselves in their great need, and they look and claim Jesus and Him alone, that He will save, that He will touch, that He will visit you. Peace. You need peace. In Acts chapter 10, Peter preaching to the house of Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10, verse 36, "The word of God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." You need Him. If you're going to have peace, you need Jesus Christ through repentance and faith. Do we that are saved, do we manifest the fruit of the Spirit? Do we manifest the fruit of peace? Are we known as the children of peace? Are the peacemakers and thereby known as the children of God? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.